Welcome back to the Six Hot Culture Podcast. Once again, I'm joined by Frechette and Danny. Boys, how's it going?
Hey, guys. You know, it could be going better, but looking at brighter paths.
Yeah, it's going good for me.
Yep, it's not going good for me, but we'll talk more about that later on. But to start off, obviously, Serie A match day 11 passed. We had Champions League football, Europa League football, and Conference League football. Those two will get into once the group stage ends and the knockout stages commence, because obviously, you know, it's a lot of games to talk about, and we don't want to rush through the other games just to, you know, get more games in. So once the knockout stages commence, we'll get into those guys as well. But for now, I guess we'll start off with last week's Serie A matches. I know it's kind of far from when you guys are listening to us now, about a week ago, but we just have so much things we need to do during the week. We're so busy, so it's really the only time we had to record, but you know, something's better than nothing, you know what I mean? So we're here. And to start off, Atalanta-Lazio. Now, first off, very good game. I think we all expected that, and I'd say it delivered 4 goals in the game as well. So, you know, no shortage of entertainment. It was a very good game, but, you know, kind of putting the game aside, obviously, you all saw Derun at the end there, tied up for Atalanta, important draw there for them to avoid defeat in Bergamo. But away from the game, I want to talk about the actual teams themselves. Atalanta and Lazio have lost so many opportunities to pass Roma in the standings, which just blows my mind. I feel like, obviously, you guys would agree, Roma have been terrible this year. We've sucked, to put it nicely. And I'm looking at the standings, and we're still in fourth place somehow. I don't know how, but we're still in fourth. Atalanta and Lazio seem to be really dropping points against the smaller clubs, and then against bigger clubs, they don't do terribly, but they just seem to really struggle in games that you'd expect them to win in, and then the ones, you know, you don't really expect them to win in or get a result from, they get one. So, just what do you guys really think about both clubs in general this season and their struggles?
Yeah, no, you said it right. It's like, it seems like I don't know what's happening with Atalanta. Like, we expected a lot more from them. Like, they haven't really been living up to the Atalanta we expect them to be. Lazio too, even some people even had them finishing top five, top four. Some, like, and then they just haven't been living up to that as well. Like, they've been dropping a lot of points to these smaller clubs, and then against the big guys, they've been showing up. But it's weird too, like, because Roma haven't been at their best, and I believe they're still fourth place, right? And
yeah, or somehow.
I don't know. I feel like those points at the end of the year, the ones that they drop early in the season could come back and be the reason why Atalanta and Lazio potentially could miss out on the Champions League. Who even knows? Maybe they can miss out on Europa League too with these points if they continue to slide against these smaller sides. And and plus too, both of them could be potentially on their way to the knockout stages of the Champions League and Europa League. So that task of maintaining both leagues with the Serie A and the respective competitions they're in just get tougher and tougher. So we'll see at the end of the year if they can bounce back or if they can continue to slide because of the lack of depth they have or just the not playing up to their standards.
Yeah, well said. I think you mentioned it perfectly, Dan, with the Champions League and Europa League. We saw this last year with Atalanta. We said, oh, maybe they don't have a team to compete in both competitions, and they don't. When Atalanta get knocked out in the Champions League eventually, then we'll see them go in their tier in Serie A, like we did last year. But for now, it's just the fatigue of balancing the midweek games with the regular games and Champions League games, and they're facing tough opponents like Manchester United, Villarreal. So we'll see the Atalanta we know and love after they get knocked out in the Champions League. And with Lazio, you know, it's a process. With Maurizio Sarri, you can't give him one season and say, hey, get us over here, get us over there. You need to give him a couple of years to develop his Sarri ball technique and let the players really practice, because it's a hard tactics to play by, very frustrating when you're first starting out. But once you get a hold of the Sarri ball, then you really see the beauty of the sport. We saw it in the Napoli season when they almost won the Scudetto. you give him time to develop his game, and we're going to see a very dangerous Lazio in a couple of years if they have the patience and give him the players and budget he wants. Well, I'm not worried for any of these teams. Lazio, I think it just needs some time to develop. With Atalanta, it's going to take a couple of months when they're out of the Champions League.
Yeah, no, well said, boys. I think both teams eventually will find their form. I know Atalanta definitely will. They seem to turn into the Terminators once it hits January, but Lazio is all up in the air. Obviously, for a new coach, it's not easy to build consistency from the get-go, but as the season goes on, I'm sure Sadio will get them building consistency. I hope they don't, obviously, as a Roma fan, but Sadio's a decent coach, and he'll find a way to team and build some strong form for them going forward. And another game I know for Chad, you're gonna not be too happy to talk about or be reminded of, Verona Juventus. I think Dan joked about it on the last podcast. Oh, but Simeone might score another 4 goals. And to be honest, when the game started, this guy had 2 goals in the first 15 minutes. I'm like, wow, Dan might be right about that prediction. It's looking like it.
Yeah, no, he's been on like fire the last few weeks. The last 3 weeks, I believe he has 6 goals in the last 3 weeks or something like that. So he's been on fire for him. The man from Argentina, I was always high on him. It was so nice to see him score, especially against Juve. One of my most hated teams in all sports, and just one player like I always liked, I always followed. And so it was just nice seeing him score, and he's making a case that he should be called up for the Argentina national team the way he's been playing. So maybe we'll see him maybe next month. Not, I don't think this month, November, but maybe the next international break after this one.
Yeah, and also with Simeone, one thing I noticed in his career is that he'll go like 10 games without scoring 1 goal, and then he'll score like 10 goals in the next 5 games. It's such a weird, like, he seems to score in bunches, really. He goes in hot form, then he goes cold for a while, and then he comes back.
That's the one thing about him, too, like, that kept him away from maybe being even the top guy at Fiorentina. He's just not consistent enough. He's too inconsistent. So I think a team like Verona, he fits in perfectly, and it seems like Tudor is getting the best of him.
And yeah, which surprises me.
The last 2 games, he's scored a lot. You could say he even played in, it was Lazio and Juve, so maybe he's a big game player.
Yeah, he's got 6 goals, I think, in his last 3 games, so that's incredible. So yeah, credit to him. And we'll see if he can keep it up. Obviously, he won't keep this kind of form up, but I'm sure, he can score maybe, 2 or 3 goals every 5 games. It'll be really good for Verona and for himself. So, yeah, credit to him. Franchet, I know you'll probably have quite a bit to say about this match. So, yeah, go ahead.
First.
Yeah, Franchet was choked up there. He's getting emotional about the result.
I just want to say this, and I think I said on the last podcast with Danny. We were playing a children's formation. We were playing a 4-4-2, and it needs to change. I don't know why we're playing a center defensive mid at Rabiot, whose only strength is winning the ball back and passing it up. I don't know why we're playing him at left mid. It makes no sense. Even against the Zenit game, which I'm sure we're going to talk about soon, he got subbed on to play left mid. I don't know why Allegri likes him at left mid so much, but that aspect needs to change. Morata, like I said, he's like Higuain. When he's good, he's amazing, he finishes everything. But when he's on shift form, my God, I'd rather play with 10 men because he's just dreadful. Constantly offside, not involved in any of the play, not attacking any ball, and that's what we saw. We've been seeing of recent with Morata. The first goal, the little potato farmer, Artur, I call him the little gremlin. He gave the ball away. He wasn't paying attention. He lost the ball stupidly, and they scored. It was a tap in by Simeone. Can't take away the goal or the credit. But at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure anyone would have scored that. And the second goal, Simeone scored. There's nothing no one could have done. It was a beautiful shot from outside the box. Fantastic, placed perfectly. Not even as much as I hate Wojciech Szczęsny, I don't even think Buffon in his prime would have saved that shot. It was just a beautifully well aimed shot. Perfect power, perfect precision. So I give credit to Simeone there. And then you had the American Texan, Weston McKennie, who decides to score at the 80th minute, good goal, and then decides to run off and start doing that stupid wand celebration when we're down 2-1, makes zero sense. That pissed me off. I'm not a big fan of players celebrating when we're losing or tied. I think you gotta have the Juventus spirit and only celebrate the wins. But then Dybala got robbed, unfortunately. Beautiful save by the Verona keeper. I think his name's Montipo. Beautiful save. It was just the story, and I really hope Tudor looked up at Agnelli and Cherubini there and gave him a nice middle finger for sacking him when he didn't need to be sacked. So good on Tudor for proving the Juventus management wrong, and hopefully we move on. We got sent to the overnight camp until further notice, and when we talk about the Zen, I'll talk about the pros of that camp. And hopefully, you know, we find our form back soon, and we continue this hot form we're on after Champions League.
No, yeah, definitely well said. They didn't look good at all against Verona, and like you said, you talk about Zenit and the improvements they've made since then in the overnight camp in El Retiro. And yeah, Retiro has been something that's been used a lot by, I know Roma, we use it 10 times a year because we always go on a lot of bad runs. Mm-hmm. I think it's Juve's first time since 2015, I believe. So, yeah, they haven't done it in a while.
We used it a couple of years ago. Yeah, I think even last year, too, we used it for a little bit.
Yeah, we use it quite often. We also use it when we play a conference league game because Mourinho wants the players to, you know, not waste any time in the morning and go home and back. So, as soon as we land back in Rome on Friday or whatever, Thursday night, like right now, the players are probably landing right now back in Rome. Actually, no, they're in Rome now, but I'm saying when they are away and they land back in Rome, they go straight upstairs into the, you know, the rooms they have there and then wake up in the morning and practice. So we use it often. But yeah, for Juve to use it, you know, that means there's been serious problems, and there has been. And if they keep playing like they did against Zenit, then I think a lot of those problems will be solved, but we'll see what happens. Another game to talk about, big one, Roma-Milan. I think, like most Roma games lately, the referee's been the story of it. I'm going to try not to talk too much about the referee. I'll save him for the end. About the game itself, Milan, obviously, they got Zlatan back, who makes a big impact when he does return and when he's on the pitch. And that's what happened. He came back. That free kick he scored, I don't think anyone on this planet would have saved. That was an absolute rocket. What a hit. My eyes couldn't even, like, fathom the speed that ball traveled at going into the back of the net. I had to see a slow-down replay version to really just see the emphasis behind that shot, because what a hit that was. Zlatan is really is not human, like he says. So, yeah, what a hit by him. Yeah, I really thought Milan were the better side until that red card. Once they got that red card, you know, it's normal when a team has less players on the pitch. They sit back. They're also up 2-0 at the time. So, you know, why not sit back? It's supposed to, and they did. They sat back. They absorbed their pressure. We missed chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. Like, going forever. Carlos Perez had a good one towards the end. At halftime, Mourinho subbed in Gian, who was one of our Primavera players. He's done really well there. I think he has 6 goals in 5 games for the Primavera. Even for the main team, he hasn't scored yet. He's come off the bench twice, and he's looked really good. So I'm a big fan of his. I like how he plays. Maybe he'll even start on the weekend. I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest, if he gets a start over Mkhitaryan, who has been absolutely terrible this whole year and towards the end of last year. He really hasn't been good since Christmas time of 2020, so, well, 2019 technically, but actually, no, 2020, what am I saying? Yeah, 2020, around there. And, yeah, he's been just, yeah, not good at all. Should always look good. Even, you know, today's conference, the game, he looked good, but we won't really get into that too much. But, yeah, I favor El-Sharabi over Mkhitaryan and Gian. You know, if he can put up some good numbers from a starting position, not even numbers, just play well and create for Tammy, who hasn't really received the ball at all this season, I think he can be, starter for this team in the future. But, yeah, going to, the whole controversy at the end of the game here, Roma pulled it back. Like I just said, El-Sharabi got the goal. Well done by him. Nice finish. Pick up the ball. We go back to center. And there's about, I don't even know, like, I believe there was a couple minutes left, not much. And, we continued to push. We continued to go. And then there's a play where El-Sharabi, he goes for the ball. He makes contact with it. And then Kier kicks him in the back of the ankle. He goes down in the box. very similar to what happened to Juventus Inter towards the end of their game when Dybala scored a penalty to tie it. That one was given. This one was not given. Identical plays. And I see people saying, oh, who cares if we didn't get the penalty? We played bad anyways. That doesn't matter. A penalty is a penalty. They don't judge a penalty based off how you play. We were not the better team, but we did deserve the penalty. And we didn't get it. The referee was terrible, and it continues to be a recurring theme. Even in today's Conference League match, two handballs in the box, clear, but there's no VAR in Conference League. So they kind of get a pass a little bit, but here they have VAR. It was not looked at. The referee completely ignored it. Pellegrini was down for about a minute after the tackle. I wouldn't even call it a tackle. It just kicked him in the back of the foot. And, the game ended, and Milan got a win. Credit to them. They're a better team throughout the whole game. But Maresca, I don't know why this guy continues to receive big matches to officiate. He's a disaster. He doesn't know what he's doing. And, guys like him, Rocchi, Orsato, referees like that, I can't stand. Now Rocchi, I think, is the head of the refereeing department or something like that, or the committee, something like that. So, yeah, no wonder why these referees have been terrible this year when Rocky's in your head. So I'm sure Juve fans are happy about that one. But, yeah, overall, I was very unhappy with how we played and the officiating this match. Dan, what did you think about it?
Yeah, no, I wasn't able to watch the whole match, but that free kick goal by Zlatan, nothing to take away. It was a beautiful free kick. And one thing I've noticed, especially as a goalie, Rui Patricio, he cheated a little bit. He thought Zlatan was going to go near post, but Zlatan put it at the far post, made no mistake. So I think if Rui Patricio had that one back, I think he wouldn't have made that mistake and try to cheat towards the near post. I even tweeted it out saying that Rui got caught cheating. Zlatan made him pay, a beautiful free kick. It was a well-deserved win for Milan, especially coming from a Napoli fan who their back and forth battle between us two. And the penalty, I believe it was a penalty too. The referees this year have been, I want to say, like, terrible from the matches I've watched. There's some calls that I go, really, they're going to call that. And then there's some calls, like, I don't understand how they don't call it, or if it's just too inconsistent with the calls this year. Fouls, like, it seems like the referees are not controlling the matches well enough this year. Hopefully that improves throughout the season. It's a win for Milan. Now they're staying on par with Napoli. I wish Roma got that penalty. I was supporting them throughout the match. It was tough for Roma. It's a tough pill to swallow. I just want to hopefully the referees can improve, because it's there's going to be a lot of big matches coming down the stretch between Napoli, Milan. I think Juve have to play them, I believe, down the road, like, there's going to be some big matches. So hopefully the referees can improve, and you never want to see the referees dictate the game, but it seems like it's a common theme in Serie A even in the past, and it's happening again now.
Yeah. And one guy's opinion I want to hear from on this penalty, because obviously as a Juve fan, he got the call against Inter. For Chad, did you think this was a penalty? Because I think I know your answer.
Yeah, this was 100% a penalty. I was surprised that they didn't call it. It just makes the whole league look bad and Juventus look bad as well. Because you just instantly go on Twitter and say, hey, they called this, but they don't call this. The refs favoring Juve and Milan once again. You know, we're always getting dragged into it, but I definitely think it should have been called a penalty. Or at least the referee should have went to go check the monitor at VAR, and he didn't. So it's a shame to see for UNs and Roma got clearly robbed of that draw that could have happened. Obviously, anything could have happened. He could have missed the penalty, could have saved the penalty, but I guess we'll never know. Milan definitely deserved the win, though. They played better, but Roma deserved that penalty and that last minute chance, that bit of luck that could have came their way.
Yeah, and Mourinho's comments on VAR have been extremely critical, and, you know, I agree with him, not just as my coach, but because it's just a factual thing that's been happening here. We haven't been getting respect to the referees. In the Juve game, obviously, we had the penalty and the Tammy's goal that wasn't given turned into a penalty, and then Chiellini was in the box, and then Juve Zenit, there was players in the box, and then they did retake it, and they scored, but for us, they didn't retake it, and then now the Milan game today in the Conference League, two penalties, handballs. I don't know if you guys have seen it. There's pictures on Twitter everywhere of it. which it's been, I don't want to blame our loss on penalties. I sound like I'm crying right now, but just the fact of the matter is it feels like we're not getting the calls that other teams do. And yes, Richard.
I saw a picture on Instagram of Mourinho. I just want to make sure that this is true, what I saw.
All right, let's hear it.
I saw him in a vest. Is this what he was wearing?
Yes.
I feel like Mourinho really needs to look himself in the mirror and say, hey, I'm not getting these wins here. What seems to be the problem?
Yeah, maybe if, I don't know if you guys know what he's alluding to, but Chet is a very big fan of managers that wear a suit.
Or just anyone in suit. Doesn't matter.
Anyone really. So, yeah, maybe if Mourinho's wearing a suit, we would have got the pens. Maybe you're right. You know, I'll send him an email for Chet. Well, maybe,
You never
maybe
know. Like a Pioli, he was wearing the suit and Milan got the win.
Maybe if the referees start wearing suits, maybe they'll give out more pens.
Yeah, that could be the reasoning behind it. So we'll see. But, Yeah, I don't want to drag that on too much with the penalties and the referees, because we all know, everyone has eyes, they all saw what happened. So, yeah, just shameful. And to sum up the rest of the games, really, nothing else crazy. Vlahovic got another career hat-trick, which is great to see from him. Obviously, you all know I'm a big Vlahovic fan, and he has 8 goals now this season, tied in second for top goal scorer, behind Immobile, who has 9. Inter defeated Udinese 2-0. Which, you know, Inter, they're still in the running for the Serie A, even though no one's really talking about them as much as Milan and Napoli. Inter's still there with lots of games to go. And Sassuolo, Salernitana, and Napoli. Napoli got the big win. Dan, any thoughts on that game quick?
Yeah, it was a scrappy win. It was a typical derby that Salernitana were holding back, trying to defend Napoli for 90 minutes. We found the equalizer from... just a scrappy goal. It was a typical FIFA goal, but it all came because of Petagna's presence. Just the way we were playing, I didn't like the way we were playing. We were crossing the ball, even though our height was an average of like 5'8", 5'9". It wasn't an ideal lineup for crossing the ball. But once Petagna came in, it seemed like that he brought physical presence. He brought aerial threat. And then that led to Zielinski's goal, which... That goal, it seems like Zielinski has gained his confidence from that goal, because today he was incredible. I think he was Napoli's best player today. We can argue. If anyone wants to like talk about it, I think Zielinski was Napoli's best player before he was taken out. And it all started from that goal. And we just keep winning, and that's the moral of the season. Can't give up. Napoli keeps battling to the end. And it proved against Salernitana. We battled to the end. We found... Got the 3 points, and it happened again today when we were down early, and we end up picking up the 3 points.
Yeah, big win for Napoli, who are still undefeated like Milan. So, yeah, it's been a long streak for both Napoli and Milan. I really did not think they'd still have the streak going, and we'll see how long it can go for. It's been a very good battle between the both teams. So I'm looking forward to when you guys actually match up. It's going to be a fun one. And... Yeah, going away from the Serie A now, obviously we had Champions League football. We had some very entertaining games there. One game that really frustrated me was Atalanta-Manchester United, which is the first game we'll talk about. Just a robbery, honestly. Also proud of Atalanta to hang in against a club like United, obviously. United get a lot of stick for being, you know, not too good of a team in the Premier League, and they choke a lot of games, but they're still, you know, Manchester United is Manchester United. So to get a tie against them is good, but they should have had a win. At the final moments, Ronaldo does Ronaldo things, and, you know, I don't think he's a GOAT, but I do think he's probably the most clutch player I've ever seen. He usually scores at the end when his team needs him. That's exactly what he did, but I believe it was Mason Greenwood who kicked it up onto his own hand, and it went right to, it went up into his hand, and it went to his foot, and he passed to Ronaldo, and Ronaldo, nice finish, but the pass, you know, it should have been called a free kick for Atalanta there. A clear handball that was, I don't think it was even checked. I believe it wasn't. And yeah, they got the draw there in Bergamo. Big result for United, obviously. But for Atalanta, it's not a horrible result, but you know, a win could have done so much for them. And just, it's so frustrating to see. Zapata, it seems like he's waking up lately in both the Serie A and the Champions League, which is good for Atalanta. I think Zapata's a very underrated player. How old is Zapata? I feel like he's been around forever.
I believe he's 29, 30.
Wow. I expected him to be older. I remember him all the way back at Napoli from a long
time.
I could be wrong.
He's younger, but I think he's around that age, between the ages of like 28 and 30 years old. Like he's been around.
He's still pretty like young in comparison to what I thought. I thought he'd be like 33 by now, but yeah, he's been around for a long time, and he's always been a very consistent player, I'd say, for Atalanta. A big cornerstone of the team, and it was nice to see him score. And I feel like the whole match is just summed up by the handball. They got robbed, and the Italian teams in Europe really don't seem to get the benefit of the doubt. We've seen Milan already robbed against Atletico this year. Now Atalanta, and you know, it seems to be a recurring theme. We saw Roma robbed today in the Conference League. Italian teams don't really get the respect of the referees in Europe, and it's just frustrating. It really is, but there's nothing we can do about it. You know, we just got to try and play through it and try and get past it. What did you guys think about this match?
Yeah, no, it was a tough pill for Atalanta to swallow as well. It's back-to-back games now that they had leads late, and they United found a way to either win the match or tie the match. So it's a tough pill to swallow for Atalanta. They just got to keep battling hard. They got to pick up key points now against Young Boys and Villarreal if they want to make it to the next stage, to the knockout stages, I should say. And they have a good team to compete with these teams, but I get the end of the day, I feel like when it comes to the defense, like we can say it all the time, and I just don't think they have the defense to be able to hold these leads, and it showed the last two games that their defense, I know one of them was a Ronaldo, typical Ronaldo goal, just an absolute like beauty, and I just think Atalanta need to be stronger in the final stages of the match, especially against the likes of United, where they could have easily had 6 points, but between the two games they ended up taking one. So hopefully those points don't come to bite them in the ass, and they just need to play hard these next two matches.
Yeah, no, well said. Then Atalanta, you know, they're on the bad spot, to be honest, in the Champions League. They can still, you know, I still believe they can go through. And Milan, who, you know, we're going to get to soon, they're not in a good spot at all. Like, at all. They just can't seem to win a game. And, you know, they got a draw, but, yeah, we'll get into them a little later on. Juve Zenit, that's another game we got to talk about here. Like, Francesco only wants to, you know, share a couple of things about this game and the ritiro that they went through and how it helped them. So, Francesco, you know, the floor is all yours here. Take it away for, you know, Dybala masterclass and big win over Zenit.
Yeah, before I do that, first of all, I want to go off on Atalanta.
I'm excited to hear this.
You know, this is the second game it's happened now that they were leading and they choked. The first game, they were up 2-0. Everyone was so proud of them, and then they choked 3-2. This game, they were up 1-0. Then Ronaldo scored right at the death in the first half, and then they came back with Zapata. And then they choked again in the 90th minute. I think they just lack concentration, and they start celebrating way too early, and they got sleeping, and, you know, Atalanta really need to wake up. I know they want to celebrate this tie against a historic club like Manchester United, but at the end of the day, they need to wake up and really zone out these sleepless things that they go through during the game, where they kind of just lose focus and let the other team attack them while they just kind of hold on, because their defense is shit. I don't care that they brought in Di Meral, their defense is still shit. So they can't really be going on that tactic, but, you know, a tie still okay. Could have been a loss. They were very lucky to come away with that tie, considering, that they were just sitting back after Zapata's goal. But, that's all I want to say about Atalanta. In terms of, did we talk about Milan yet? I've been having some internet issues here.
No, Milan were saving, you know, towards the end, but yeah, which I think you know what time it is. Zenit, Juve.
Okay.
And we want to hear your opinion on that beautiful Dybala picture as well. So.
Yeah, Zenit, Juve, you know, going into it, I wanted us to kill these idiots. You know, they pissed me off since when we lost to to Napoli, and that Empoli result wasn't in our favor. We kind of pissed me off when they went on their TikTok and started talking shit about Juve. But It's okay because the first game we won 1-0, and this game at home after the camp, you know, I was very confident in us. I think I said this in a podcast earlier. This is the first season where Allegri has sat down and said he's prioritizing the Champions League, and I genuinely think that's what he's doing because we're beating every team in the Champions League. We beat Chelsea, we beat Malmo, we beat Zenit, and now we beat Zenit again. We actually killed them. I think this is the first game in a long, long, long while where I said Juventus deserved to win from start to finish. We dominated every aspect of the game. It was going so well for us. Even if we weren't scoring, we were getting chances. We were doing the necessary skill moves to open up space and get a beautiful shot in. And sometimes it would just go wide. Sometimes the keeper would save it. And when we did score, it was beautiful goals. Bonucci got an unlucky own goal. He tried headering the ball away. And unfortunately, he just went in the back of the net. Can't blame Chesney for that. Can't really blame Bonucci either. He was just trying to clear the ball. Just an unlucky bounce, unfortunately. And that kind of worried me a bit, leading us. But we woke up, and the penalty incident happened, which a lot of Zenit fans on Twitter were complaining about, calling it a dive. It just Chiesa doing Chiesa things, you know, he was dribbling, got past his man, and, you know, when he's so tricky on the ball, and you're trying to go for the ball, he kind of just clipped the back of Chiesa's foot, and he went down. So thank God for Chiesa's beautiful dribbling skills, and Dybala, you know, he kind of pissed me off with missing that penalty. I get it if you miss and he saves it or you just go wide, but that I don't know, the net would have had to be at least 3 feet longer in order for that first attempt to go in. We were very lucky with Zenit's keeper stepping up over the line and us having to retake it. And Dybala, I give full confidence to for retaking that penalty, only because, you know, I can imagine what was going through his head after he had such a horrible miss the first time. And the fact to retake it and score it must have really helped him and really, really been stressful in the moment. So thank God for him. And his first goal, you know, it got me a little emotional when he was celebrating, and then he did the tribute to Michel Platini for overtaking his goal scoring record as a Juventus player. So it was a very beautiful tribute for Dybala. And hopefully, you know, this season he's been on fire. Hopefully he could continue it up. And I'm just glad we pummeled those Russian idiots away, and we showed them why they should have been scared of us. Then Enzo's favorite pairing of all time came on, De Ligt and Rugani. Well, De Ligt was starting, Rugani came on, and we conceded. So, you know, could have expected that the minute Rugani and De Ligt were in the back together with Wojciech Szczesny in the back. It was unfortunate. I really want Rugani to do well, but he's just not Juventus caliber starter. And hopefully Alvaro Morata picks up his form after scoring. Like I said, he's like Higuain. When he's hot, and when he's shit, he's just dreadful. So hopefully Morata could pick up his form now that he got that goal. And hopefully we move on and continue our perfect run in the Champions League and start waking up in the Serie A. But if that's the way we play after camp, if I was Allegri, I'd tell the entire team to pack their bags and they're moving to camp for the rest of the season.
Yeah, a big win for Juve. And yeah, these guys are looking like a different team compared to how they look in Serie A. So yeah, credit to Allegri, I guess, for, you know, getting to the next level in Champions League. But obviously, I know Juve fans want to see more of a consistent performance from, you know, the team in all competitions. But I'm sure as the season goes on, they'll settle down and become more consistent with both competitions. And, you know, speaking about a team that's struggling in one competition and doing well in another, it's the complete opposite with Milan. In the Champions League, they haven't won a game. And then in the Serie A, they seem to be unbeatable. And, yeah, just a tale of two different stories going on. Milan-Porto, what an interesting game. Zlatan, you know, people just got excited. They thought he got the winner there. Then he got to Salah towards the end. And this guy on Porto, Diaz, is incredible. Like, this guy is insane.
Yeah, Luis Diaz? Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, I've seen him play before, but
he's so annoying. He's so annoying. like he's an amazing player. He's fantastic, but playing against him, it's one of those players where you just hate. He's so fast. He's very good on the ball. Very quick, very tricky. He's one of those players, like I said, I can't stand him, but if he, he's one of those players where he's on your team, you love him, and when he's not, you hate him.
Yeah, he is just, like, this guy, it's so hard to take the ball off him. It's like it's stuck to his foot. He's quick, he's smart, he can create, he's good at decision-making, his shot's incredible. Now, what he has on his shot's insane. Like, this guy's, he's going to be a big, big player in the future. He gets signed by a club soon, a bigger club, because this guy is incredible. He really, to me, stole the show when I was watching this game. I couldn't stop watching him. And, yeah, well done from him and Porto. But, yeah, Milan, they can't seem to get over the hump in Europe. And I don't know what it is. They still haven't won a game since returning to the Champions League. And it's tough to watch them in Europe, honestly. There's not much to say about this match. I feel like all of the Champions League matches have been the same. They fall asleep for a couple moments. I don't know if it's the quality on the team. I don't think it is because they're doing so well in Serie A. I think it's more of a mental thing in Europe. They have quite a few players who aren't that experienced in Europe. They do have Giroud, who I think this guy should be starting every single European game like he did. This guy, you know, Giroud, when you need a goal, Giroud's going to score for you. Obviously, and this one at the end, he couldn't come in clutch, but Zlatan, we thought he won it. It just, the refereeing decision against Porto didn't help them. Then they're getting unlucky with some chances. Then also Mike Maignan is out. They have, you know, Tanatansu, who's, you know, not the, you know, he's no Magic Mike. You know, we'll say that. So everything feels like it's just all falling apart for them in Europe. And instead, yeah, they're looking on top of the world. So it's tough to watch them. Hopefully they can pick it up. Their chance of going through to the next round aren't looking really good. Even to make the Europa League is not looking that good at the moment. Obviously, it's still possible. It's in the books. But they're going to have to win their last two games if they want a chance to do anything, really, in Europe for the rest of the season. So, yeah, they got to wake up. What do you guys think about it?
Yeah, you know, Milan are a disgrace to the Serie A. You know, that the game against Atletico was just unlucky. They got robbed that game. The game against Liverpool, they choked. The first game against Porto, you know, they were shit. And now this game, just a disaster for Milan in Champions League. It makes me sick to my stomach that when the Champions League fans go look at the Serie A table and they see Milan top of the table or right behind Napoli in the table, and they say, how is this team top in the Serie A undefeated? It just goes to show you the level of competition in that league. And it just puts a bad name in Serie A's mouth. Obviously, I can't condemn Milan too much because the game against Atletico was disgusting, and they should have got the win. But everything else, it's their fault. And, you know, they got to wake up. I think Pioli's like Conte. He's great in the league, and he's shit in Europe. So hopefully, you know, I feel bad for Ibra. Because, you know, just had a little technical glitch there. But I feel bad for Ibrahimovic. But at the end of the day, you know, Milan, I don't think they're going to qualify. Anything's possible. I think it was like Atalanta last season. They only had 1 point with at this point in the Champions League group stage. So Milan could qualify still, and hopefully they do. But at this point, it's just not even looking like they go into Europa League.
Yeah, I got emotional towards the end there, it sounded like. But, yeah, no, definitely. Milan needs to do a much better job. It's really hard to put our finger on it. I think Brahim Diaz is a big part of this team for Milan. This guy has been incredible this year, and I think going forward, they're going to need a lot out of Brahim Diaz if they're really going to, you know, make it to the next level. And for the future as well.
Yeah, no, even just the way even Tonali's been playing, I've been really impressed with him. Ibrahimovic, Giroud, this guy seems like he's going to score in every big game possible. And it's just, I feel like Milan, even too, like in the Champions League, they've been unlucky, especially that first game against Atletico. They got screwed over. Liverpool, it was a tough game. And I feel like they just need to focus on one, either just crashing out in all competitions, or maybe even like just focusing on Europa League. But I feel like they've just been lucky and just, especially now against Porto, I feel like they should have done better, maybe even got 6 points. But we'll see what happens. Maybe they just want to focus on winning the league, and who knows, with maybe going out of Champions League and Europa League, it could be a blessing for Milan. Or if they want to go to the Europa League, maybe they want to just focus on winning the Europa League as well, top of the Serie A. I feel like they've just been unlucky too.
Yeah, it's a mixture of being unlucky and not playing well and maybe just mental strength. Hopefully they can get it together. Going to the other side of Milano, Inter, they really pulled it back when they started the Champions League. It wasn't looking too good for them. They had that 1-0 loss to Real Madrid really to start off there. And, you know, it must have been frustrating for them. I thought they actually played better than Real. I thought they dominated that game, to be honest, and they didn't get the result they wanted. But now two big wins over Sheriff Tiraspol, which, you know, they looked like prime Barca against Real Madrid, which I think was the biggest early surprise in the Champions League. Everyone's like, wow, this team, I saw even people put bets on them for to win the whole thing because they get a lot of money out of it. You know, it's a whole, I don't know what it was, just a joke, I guess. But, yeah, obviously they weren't going to continue that form. They played like against Real. And Inter got a huge win over them. Credit to Inter, two big wins. And now the chances to get through to the next round are looking much better. They currently sit second in their group. They have games against Shakhtar and Real Madrid left. Obviously, both teams aren't going to be easy to defeat. Shakhtar is a tricky one. And Real Madrid, you know, even when they aren't at their best, they're always a tough team to beat just because of the quality they have on their team. So hopefully they can do it. I thought Inter looked very good. Similar to Juve, I thought they put in a very good performance. Skriniar, another goal. I think Skriniar, in my opinion, is amongst some of the best center backs in the world right now. I think this guy's incredible. He's quick. He's intelligent. He scores a lot of goals for a center back. I feel like almost every pod we talk about him, he has a goal from some competition during the week, Serie A or Champions League. And he's a leader. He's passionate. Just what a player to have. In my opinion, he's Inter's most important player. I actually probably would value him over Barella. I think that might be a hot take. I think Barella's a great player, but Skriniar is so good, man. He's kind of like the Koulibaly to Napoli, in my opinion. Yeah. Man. You can't take Koulibaly away from Napoli, and I think Skriniar is becoming that for Inter now. Kind of like how Handanovic has been a big cornerstone for Inter for a long time. I think Skriniar is going to take that torch and really hopefully guide this team. I know they want to make Barella captain. I saw reports, a new contract, and they want to make him captain going, you know, for the future. But I don't know. To me, Skriniar should be the next captain. This guy is a leader and just a very good player to have at the back there and lead your team. So, yeah, credit to him. He really impressed me, as always. Dimarco, he's inconsistent. He's good some games, and in some games I'm like, wow, this guy should be on the national team. And then another game I'm like, oh, this guy is this guy looks like a City D player sometimes. So yeah, it's very up and down with him. But if he can find some consistency, then good for him. Vidal, every time I see him, I kind of get like a shockwave going through my body. I'm like, how's this guy still playing football at a high level? Like, I feel like he's been around forever, Arturo Vidal. But yeah, he's also, I guess, he's a good player to have in the locker room. He plays hard. And they have a very mature group of players. I think that's a nice way to put it, while calling them old. But they work. They get results. Yeah. And yeah, credit to them. Big win. And hopefully they can make it through.
Yeah, no. These two games against Sharif, they were huge. Brozovic, too. He's been, I feel like he's been very good for into the season. He's always been like a steady player. Never the best, but never the worst. He's always just done his job and move on. Inter, they got a good core of players. They got a good coach. And I feel like they're the type of team, I feel like if they can get to the knockout stages, they're one team that you have to look out for, because they can make some noise. They can find a good run of form, how to get to the knockout stages, and maybe even make it to like the quarterfinals, maybe potential semis, if they can catch fire. They're the champions of Italy after all, so they have that. Francesco, I like this, that winning mentality, that winning pedigree. And especially a lot of these players too, the likes of Barella, Bastoni, coming off a European championship. So that's what they bring. Zaghi's a good coach. I feel like he's done a very good job replacing Antonio Conte. And they still got a lot of good players. They got players who are playing high level, like Dzeko and Martinez. So they're a team that you have to look out for if they can make it to the round of 16.
Yeah, so well said then. Yeah, Inter, they looked well. They're growing. They're doing better. And, yeah, hopefully they can get through to the next round and make Italy proud. Yeah, that's all the matches we're going to go through here. Rochette is, you know, has been having technical difficulties this whole podcast, so he will not be here for the remainder of it. But, yeah, Europa League, we had some big games there for Napoli and Lazio. Napoli got a huge win, and Lazio, they drew Marseille, but I'm pretty sure they're still second in the group. Roma tied to Bodo Glimt, and they're second in their group. So in Europa League Conference, it looks like the Italian teams will have a pretty good chance to pass. And even in Europe, I just think Milan's the only team really that will have a very uphill battle to, you know, get to the next round. But hopefully they can pull it off, but it's going to be very difficult. To wrap up here, you know, we appreciate you guys listening to us every week. We have a great time doing this, and I believe international break is next week, Dan, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe after this match break, yeah. So next week, the Azzurri are coming back.
Azzurri are back.
One big match against Switzerland. This could dictate if we're going to qualify automatically or if we have to go through a playoff. So this is a huge match coming up. And hopefully Mancini calls up the right guys and we get the job done.
Yeah, exactly. I believe the call-ups may come out tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken.
Either so, tomorrow or I believe maybe after the, I believe, yeah, even tomorrow, I think, because I think Tuesday they have to report to camp.
Yeah, so I think it's usually Friday before I said yes. So yeah, I think tomorrow is most likely the Cubs will come out. Hopefully calls up a good group of guys. We're excited for the Azzurri to come back. We want some revenge after how the last international break ended. We got one over Belgium, but that didn't really, you know, matter too much. We really wanted that one over Spain. And, yeah, we're excited to see Azzurri back. We're excited for the big game this weekend. We got the Milano Derby coming up, which would be a good one. We got, Napoli, Verona, who we know, you know, Verona's a very tough, tough team. One. We have Juventus, Fiorentina, which will be another good game I expect to see, you know. Vlahovic, I know there's talks of him and Juventus possibly happening, so we'll see that.
Well, hopefully Vlahovic likes, Nedved and, they kind of scout him and tell him to come back home, like the other Fiorentina greats, like Federico Chiesa, Bernardeschi, Chiellini, you know. Hopefully,
Vlahovic just came back out of nowhere.
I came back and I heard Vlahovic, guys. No, but Camiso's going to be tough with this one. He knows, he doesn't want, I think he said he doesn't want to give him to Juventus, obviously. But hopefully we could give him to Vlahovic to be like Chiesa and only demand Juventus and, we could get him in January. That would really bolster our squad.
I just hope Vlahovic scores 2 goals against you guys.
Dan, you already said that about Simeone. Please, buddy. You have some like weird shit with that. Please.
If he scores 2, we all know we're going to say it in the group chat during the game. So that'll be a funny one again. But yeah, it's been a good one. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Go check out our social media, Instagram, Twitter, at @SixIdCalcio, number 6IX, and @SixIdCalcio. Yeah, we'll see you next week. Ciao.
Ciao, guys.